Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in for John Schaefer. If anyone in jazz could be accused of having multiple personalities, it's Wynton Marsalis. There's Wynton Marsalis, the ambassador, who as artistic director of jazz at Lincoln Center, presided over the opening of the $128 million Frederick P. Rose Hall last season, a temple of jazz uptown on Columbus Circle. And then there's the musician, the player. As a trumpeter, composer, and bandleader, his latest album is Live at the House of Tribes, which features hard-swinging, up-tempo tunes recorded in a small Lower East Side club. Wynton joins us here today on Soundcheck. Wynton, welcome.
All right. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming in, man. As we just mentioned, you know, your new CD, it's a live CD called Live at the House of Tribes. You know, you're at a moment in your life where you're most associated with this kind of very swank, beautiful place up on Columbus Circle, and here you are at a live record at a club on the Lower East Side, you know. Were you trying to sort of, was there an element of back to basics here, a desire to sort of connect more directly, or what was the...
No. Well, we've been playing in at the House of Tribes for 5 years now. It's a running benefit we do every year. It's a community people. It's what I come from. My father, my mother, all community kind of people.
Oriented,
Dominique,
sure.
My home girl. Kwame runs the House of Tribes. Steve Cannon from New Orleans. It's all people that I know and have known for many, many years. And I don't go back from, I don't go from one thing to the other. Things come out and sometimes they have the appearance of being something. Like you look at a big building and you, if it's swank, if it's around something that's associated with a lot of money, you tend to disassociate it from people. Mm-hmm. Like when I first started to work at Lincoln Center, somebody would say up there at Lincoln Center, like, as if it would just, as if the buildings themselves were the personalities. But at Lincoln Center, I was just working with people. George Weissman was the chairman of the board, and he was a submarine commander in World War II, and Nat Leventhal, and all different people that I knew. It's not like they became different people because they were working at Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is your first live CD since your 1999 box set Live at the Village Vanguard. What are the virtues of live recording? I mean, obviously, it's such a strong tradition, particularly in jazz. What's great about it?
Well, it's just what happened. You know, you're not in the studio. You're in front of an audience of people. You're interacting with them. And in the case of this CD, this is not my regular band. It's the first time I've ever really made a recording with musicians that I don't normally play with. Mm-hmm. I play with Wes Anderson, our great alto saxophonist. But with Eric Lewis, we weren't really playing together at that time. And Joe Farnsworth, our drummer, I had never played with him. And Kengo Nakamura, I had played with him, but not that much.
Well, you know, from the sound of the set, it really seems like, you know, a group of people who wandered in a room and you know, as if like you were all from, in maybe in a different place, but like all speaking the same language. It seemed like instantaneously you guys just kind of locked in, and there's a kind of energy on this. I mean, can you talk about that night? I mean, do you remember, you know, what it was like and what it felt like?
Well, I remember it's always in December. I remember I was kind of tired, my chops. I had been playing for the whole year, and I was looking forward to playing with Joe because we had never played together. I always heard about him, Joe Farnsworth. And we set up, and the House of Tribes, it's a small place, but we always have a lot of fun. People start dancing. We play second-line music, some gumbo, some red beans, rice, New Orleans music, a lot of New Orleans people in the house. It's always eventful, different type of characters. Some of our friends who like to grape a little bit too much, they come and they make a little too much noise. You know,
you can really feel the presence of the crowd on the disc, and that's one of the fun parts of it. You know, you really have that sense of, you know, you can hear like just kind of people like their intakes of breath and shouting out, and
right.
You know, there's a real sense of a context there.
Right, and we didn't know that it was being recorded either. It was just a typical night in the club, and then later we heard Actually, I saw a DVD of it, and the sound quality was very good. I said, we could put this out as a record.
You know, let's listen to a little bit of it. We've got the Cole Porter classic, What Is This Thing Called Love? Let's hear some of it. To What Is This Thing Called Love from Wynton Marsalis's new live CD called Live at the House of Tribes. Wynton, I'd be curious to know just what was running through your head as you were listening to that. I mean, it's always interesting when musicians hear their own stuff. You know, some would just pick it apart and other people can just kind of lock right back into the groove they were feeling then. You know, where were you?
Well, I was trying to, whenever I play 16 notes or fast runs, I'm always just trying to hear where I'm playing in the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
how'd
also
you do?
The vocabulary, it was all right. It could have been better. Also, the vocabulary that I'm playing, like I play with different vocabulary. Sometimes I play a vocabulary that's more like Charlie Parker, Fast Navarro. Other times I play another type of vocabulary. That's I like to mix the different vocabularies up. But it's harder to play a different vocabulary when you're playing fast. The faster you play or the slower you play, the more difficult it is to speak in other languages.
Now, you know, earlier you mentioned that, you know, you were playing with some guys that, you know, you weren't necessarily, you know, that you don't play with often or in some cases not at all. You know, what are the challenges and what are the advantages of that kind of ensemble situation?
Well, the challenges mainly would be with the rhythm section. It's the drums and the bass. You know, if when the drums and the bass are not, don't play together well or they don't have a good beat or feeling, then you have a bad time. But the advantages are sometimes you're excited to play with somebody, and every now and then you run into the kind of musicians who have a similar type of intensity about playing the music and a
right.
seriousness about it. Like drummers like Kenny Washington comes to mind, or Louis Nash in New York. These are people who are very serious. So if you've never played with them, when you start playing with them, they're so serious about what they're playing. It brings you to a much higher level.
Right.
In this case with Joe Farnsworth, I had never played with him. But I knew he was a serious musician. But when we walked in, I could just look at the suit he had on, and I said, okay. You know, if you took that much time with your suit.
I can only imagine what you're going to sound like today.
You're going to be playing. You know, you're not, very seldom you're going to be that clean and to play a gig like we're a small gig. Look, you know, like that.
Yeah, right, to show
when
up.
We started playing his cymbal beat, I really liked playing with it. Ding, 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 ding. It had a real true belief in the swing. And when I felt the belief that he had, and he had never played with me, so I was trying to, we were getting with each other. I was like, okay, you know, I know you might have heard all of this. A lot of talk goes on in New York, you know, and it's mainly talking. It's not about playing. So we were both kind of like, okay, you might have heard some talking, but now we play.
Yeah, now we're going to show.
So, you know, we were kind of, it was, I mean, I enjoy playing with it.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question that, you know, maybe sounds kind of naive to you, but, you know, obviously jazz musicians all the time, you know, talking about swing. And, you know, I could feel, you know, the swinging happening on this CD. But, you know, is there a way to define it or describe it, a way to talk about it?
It's like when you see two people who really can dance well together. You can't actually describe it, but when you look at the other people, you know they're not really doing it the same.
Mm-hmm.
The swing is a matter of extreme coordination. And it's not just coordination with yourself.
Right.
It's to be coordinated with other people.
Right.
And there's no description of it, but it's something we all, and it's also in degrees. Like you see one couple on a dance floor, and you think, wow, they're really great. Then you see another one, you say, you see another one. So each time you experience that coordination, and we experience this with teams
mm-hmm.
more often. People say, well, we're really in sync, or we're feeling it, we're together. I knew
in the pocket.
It's that type of thing.
You know, I mean, and that is really, I was wondering if you could describe a little bit that feeling, because there is that kind of sense, you know, I mean, at moments on here where just kind of everybody's just right locked in, you know, and just kind of everybody's just right at the top of their game. And that sense also of a communal aspect to it, not only with each other, but, you know, with an audience that's right there with them. You know, I think one of the reasons why people are so fascinated by performers is that because performers get to experience that. You know, could you talk a little bit about just what it's like to be up on a stage just when you're doing that, whether you're, in a big place or a small place?
Well, it's really the second greatest feeling in the world.
I can imagine what the first feeling is.
Because we're jazz musicians, we don't know what we're going to play. Like we're making it up as we go along. And it's like a great conversation, but with more depth, and because music is much more accurate than words. And when you play in a small place, you get the intimacy, and people are reacting to you, and you're taking what they played, and it's such an energy and a feel. And the swing groove has an energy, because it's not a loud groove, and it's not a groove that has a lot of repetition, like a backbeat, like boom, bap, boom, bap. That creates an energy too. Mm-hmm. But the energy of the music comes more out of a, it's more theatrical, mm-hmm. whereas in jazz and the swing, doom 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 deep doom, it's laid out for you to expose ideas and to develop them. So you have the feeling of people following you, and you're following each other. And the musicians are all giving and taking. It's a real intense, thick call and response.
Well, you know, there's that idea that, another obvious term that comes up all the time of improvisation, you know, but there's a sense in which, you know, your improvisatory gestures also have to be meaningful. You know, I mean, you can improvise and, happening, and you can improvise and you are going to some higher level.
Well, that's what you strive for. And when the improvisers, if you ask a jazz musician what are their list of their favorite improvisations, they'll always tell you they like this improvisation because it sounds like a composition. So in other words, someone who can come up with something out of there just at the spur of the moment, but give it coherence and logic and order. And
it's like talking about somebody speaking prose or something.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's exactly the same. It being able to really organize your thoughts and ideas, and get your syntax, your language, and to use a heightened vocabulary and a sense of style and the rhythm and the melody the whole way, like kind of like what we equate with King when he was really on, when he would go off the script.
Yes.
What he would say would be greater than what was written.
Yes. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in today for John Schaefer. We'll have more from Wynton Marsalis in a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Soundcheck. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in for John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. We're here talking with Wynton Marsalis, and we're listening to You Don't Know What Love Is from his new CD, Live at the House of Tribes. Wynton, you know, we were talking before about concert venues, and, you know, Jazz at Lincoln Center up until last year was a kind of just another Lincoln Center constituent, you know, squatting in other people's territories at Alice Tully Hall and Avery Fisher Hall, and now it has its own state-of-the-art facility. And, you know, how has that changed the organization and its profile?
Well, I think we got a tremendous amount of national publicity with the House of Swing being put up. But I think that it just gives us a place to really fulfill our mission, which is to bring people together through music, bring the generations together, the different styles of jazz, and to be a part of the elevation of the democratic spirit, and say we represent all those ideals that the people had in the 60s that have fallen by the wayside, trying to come together and come to grips with the dynamic nature of democracy. And that's what we do in our space, and that's what we're about, the integration of the arts and the community experience, because a lot of the money of the city, the citizens of the city of New York paid for that building.
You know, I should mention that Jazz at Lincoln Center season opens on September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra doing a Kansas City festival, and that should be pretty amazing. What were some of the biggest surprises or the biggest hurdles, the biggest, you know, the most fun and the biggest problems that came up during the course of this last year?
As always, just working with different people and different types of people. And you always learn that whatever you thought about somebody that you didn't know, you didn't know.
That's right.
So, you might have learned that when you were 10 years old. Or you might learn it again when you were 18, and you learn it again when you...
Yeah, you just don't stop ever learning
it,
really.
You just keep learning that same lesson. And so far as I'm concerned, in Jazz at Lincoln Center, people give me such an outpouring of love and so many... Like, you could be walking through a building that we're working on, and somebody would be working on a construction crew, and they'll start talking about Coltrane's saxophone or Coltrane's house. Yeah, Coltrane's house was up for sale in Long Island. You know, it's right around the corner from where I live. Or so many things like that happen all the time from different people, things you wouldn't expect.
Now, what kinds of... what kinds of skills are called upon? I mean, maybe there are some similarities. I mean, obviously, as a musician, and as a composer and with your bands, you have to deal with critics and people writing about you. Now, I mean, a lot of people were, extremely enthusiastic about the new space. But we had a comment in the New York Times by architecture critic Nikolai Arsarov saying, described it as a soulless mall that has the feeling of a mausoleum. You know, obviously this is something you worked for a long time to bring about. You know, when you see something like that in an outlet like that, what does that make you feel like?
It has no effect on how I feel, because we, all of us, have lived in the same world since we were kids. And there's always a lot of opinion. Like, many times I'm asked the question, well, a lot of people don't like this. Or, a lot of people don't. And my response to it always is, there are a lot of people.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people, there will be a diversity of opinion about many things. And the wonderful thing about the democratic way of life is that if you can get a newspaper job or if you can get an article, then you are entitled to express your opinion. And the truth of it, or whatever it is, there are many ways to look at any one given thing. But we put three first-class quality halls up in New York City, and we have musicians playing in them all the time. And whether it feels like it's a mausoleum to one guy...
Seems pretty lively to somebody else.
Come, you can put your ashes there if you think that.
I mean, in many ways, up until the end, that was a very judicious response, and it maybe calls on different kinds of emotional skills from what's required from a player. When you're on, a bandstand, man, and going for yours and trying to get the best out of the people around you, those are very different roles in a way, being an administrator and being a player, man.
I like cussing people out. Okay. Let me explain. I like arguing, fighting. But inside of all of the arguing and fighting, you have to respect you have to have somebody to argue and fight with. You can't do it with yourself. So I don't have a problem with somebody writing their opinion or expressing what they have to say very forcefully, because I have the opportunity and the ability to do that on behalf of my own causes or my own ideas.
Yes.
So I don't begrudge any of the critics their position of doing it. It's no different from being a player or an administrator. Now, I'm not really an administrator. I'm not artistic director. So I deal mainly with the artistic substance of things.
Sure.
But we argue and fight a lot with our board. It's like a family. In your family, a family is a very expressive unit.
That's right.
So, you have to embrace it. In jazz, many times, is harmony through conflict. Conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. It only becomes bad when that becomes the point.
Yes, when it's not conflict on the way to some sort of resolution.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's go back to maybe what's at the heart of both roles, which is some music. Let's listen to another track from Live at the House of Tribes. This one called Donna Lee. That was Wynton Marsalis from his new CD, Live at the House of Tribes. That's Donna Lee, Charlie Parker tune. Talk about coming up with a set list for a show like this. You've got a Charlie Parker number. You got Thelonious Monk. You've got a Cole Porter song.
Just whatever everybody knows.
Sometimes it's just as pragmatic as that.
We won't play like some of our music that has 6-bar phrases or 3-4 bars and all kind of complicated twists and turns. Like Charlie Parker once said on a bandstand, somebody came up and they didn't know songs. So normally you go through songs. You know so-and-so? No, you know this. So by the third or fourth song, some of the guys in the band were like, oh, man, you know. So Bird told the person who was coming up, he said, man, don't worry about it. We know a lot of songs. Just keep asking, and we'll find one that we all know together. So it's a matter of finding songs that we can all improvise on together.
Just recently, Joyce Wine, the wife of the legendary producer George Wine.
Ween.
A former vice president of the company that produced the Newport Jazz and Folk Festivals and numerous other events, died recently. You performed, spoke at her funeral. I was wondering if you could talk about her a little bit and her importance to you.
Man, she was just so soulful and elegant and just full of the things that we all prize the most. She had just ultimate discretion. She cooked great beans, Boston beans, man. We would have dinner and George and I would argue all the time. George is always saying none of the young musicians can play. So Joyce, he relied on her so much, and they had such a beautiful relationship that I used to enjoy going to their house just to see their relationship, how it worked. And George is my third son's godfather. So but George and I have an argument that's gone on for years, and Joyce is always the judge. So the last time, actually, I saw her, I called Eric Lewis, who's playing piano on the House of Tribes, over to George's house because he was complaining about no young guys can play. So Eric and I came over there, and we said, we're going to let Joyce determine whether he can play or not. And she was just, she was just a wonderful and just purely intelligent. She was a woman with such keen vision and intelligence and honesty that you had to just love her. And everybody did. We all did.
Now, you've got a new season coming up at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Could you talk just a little bit about what's going to be happening and what you're looking forward to specifically?
Well, this season is the celebration of many of the cities that jazz came from, the tributaries to the national feeling in the music. We've got a lot of musicians from Los Angeles coming, Kansas City, got Ribs and stuff like that. New Orleans, we're going to bring New Orleans musicians up, New Orleans gospel music. We're going to have some New Orleans food in the club. We have Pittsburgh, a lot of great musicians came from there, Stanley Turrentine, Mary Lou Williams, Art Blakey. We got Detroit with all the great bassists that came from there, Ron Carter, Yusuf Lateef is going to be there. So we're trying to now, we opened the House of Swing. We had our first season, which was a potpourri of jazz material. Now we're inviting everybody from the country into the feeling of our space.
Well, speaking of music from different cities, we're going to go out with a track called Second Line, which from Winton's probably maybe your favorite city, New Orleans. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure talking to you.
I have Wynton Marsalis here. His new CD is Live at the House of Tribes. I'm Anthony DeCurtis. This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. Sitting in today for John Schaefer. And in a moment, we'll speak with Richard Barone about the cult performance artist and singer Klaus Nomi. Stay with us. You're listening to Soundcheck.